And we find ourselves, you know, just on the treadmill, man. We're in the same place. Tell me why you think this is our lot in life right now and why we're here.
It's really hard to kind of pinpoint it. I mean, this is, for the most part, the same guys that you've had over the past, you know, 3-4 years with the run, minus a few guys. You obviously are having a season without Max Fried for the first time in a long time. I think that's a piece that has been hard to kind of replace, quite frankly. And, you know, I think Spencer's still coming around, coming off of Tommy John. There just are a lot of things that have happened, whether it's Ronald Acuna that didn't start the year and has come back and has been unbelievable. You lose Jerickson Profar to suspension. That would have been a huge signing. And then on top of that, they just haven't really seemed to be in sync at any point during the season. And unfortunately for them, there's a few good teams in that division this year. It's not just them in the Mets or just them in the Phillies. Really, all three of them are playing, you know, really good baseball, and it's only complicated the matters for a team like the Braves who've fallen behind the Marlins. I mean, I don't know if I could remember a time they've been behind the Marlins.
Yeah, the Marlins have gotten hot recently. The Braves have not, and that's where they stand. Odyssey MLB Insider Tony Gwynn Jr. Insider Calls presented by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers the professional-grade products you need delivered when and where you need them. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. And look, we're going to be honest about this situation here, Tony. The playoffs are not happening. That's just not in the cards this year. So with that in mind, the rest of this season, what do you look at and say, all right, this is the goal now? What are the Braves, both individually and as a team, looking to accomplish the rest of the way?
They're still uber talented. I mean, this is a team with Olsen, with Albies, and, you know, whatever the shortstop mix is going to be moving forward, you still have Austin Riley. And then, you know, can you get Michael Harris back on track? You know, getting back to what we saw from him his rookie year. You know, Marcelo Ozuna is another guy who you got to make a decision on. He struggled here as of late. I think, the short answer is, you know, there's not always a specific reason why a team isn't played. Sometimes it just doesn't line up. But I think you can start to work towards next year and just trying to get in sync again. Guys, you know, individually getting back to the players that they have been will go a long way in seeing the win-loss totals change in the way that we've seen them in the past. So I think, yeah, the playoffs is going to be a long point, but I think you can start, trying to pull the rope in the same direction as a team and as an organization again.
Tony, before we get into some other stuff, because there's a lot going on around the league and certainly leading into the All-Star Week here in the ATL, as a player, when you're going through the kind of slump that Money Harris is going through, and, you know, we talked about this yesterday, 153 plate appearances, hasn't drawn a walk, barely hitting 200, what do you try to do, man? What are you doing? Because I think there are a lot of Braves fans who are like, okay, is the hitting coach doing his job? The answer is yes. We know this, but explain from your experience and what you've seen. What are you trying to work on? How do you get out of this?
I think sometimes there's a couple different ways. I've seen guys, I've done it myself, where you get an off day and you just hit in that cage for 100, 200 balls, try to hit your way out of it. Sometimes you got to take the opposite approach. Sometimes you have to, you know, remove yourself to try to clear your thoughts. A lot of times what happens, especially if you are as talented as Michael Harris is you start to press, you start to try to do more. And by the end of the day, you could end up having your brain so clouded with so many different thoughts that you can't figure out which way is up. I think everybody who's ever played at this level has gone through that at some point. It's tough to really kind of get to the bottom of it during the season, because you're also trying to compete. You're trying to help win games. And so you don't have the kind of time to, like, dissect your swing and put it back together like you do in the off season. And so this is just going to be about survival, you know, unless he can find the move or the mechanical flaw that he's having that's causing some of this. This is just a matter of just trying to survive the season and then kind of take it apart when you get to the offseason.
How do you readjust plate approach? You're talking about going into the cage and trying to swing out of it. Has anyone ever gone to a cage or just watch balls come by? Because to me, it feels like that's what's necessary. He's swinging at so many balls that he's got no shot to get an actual hit on. If it's deemed to be not physical, more mental or plate approach, how do you adjust that in season? And is it up to the player? Is it up to the hitting coach? Obviously, a little bit of both. But how do you really take that aspect of the struggles on?
I think there's no doubt that it's definitely something I've done. I think it's something a lot of guys have done. But that goes back to pressing. I mean, Michael Harris has, when he's right, has a good interpretation of what the strike zone is and what he handles well. But when you start to press and you are starting to chase the result versus the process to get to the result, you can find yourself chasing pitches out of the zone. I'm watching it right now with Jackson Merrill, kind of going through a similar thing in terms of all of a sudden he's chasing outside of the zone, and it just makes hitting that much harder. And so I think one of the things you could do, and this is kind of not just a Michael Harris thing, but also an understanding from the staff, give him a day or two where he can kind of just get away from the work and try to clear his mind. He knows what the strike zone is. I have no doubt about it. But sometimes when you get so bogged down with mechanical fixes, you know, different swing thoughts, different game plans, it can be cloudy and you could lose sight of that judgment. So maybe just taking a step back, you know, for a few, and kind of reassessing there and seeing if that can kind of reset the system, if you will.
Couple of guys I want to talk about. Manny Machado gets his 2,000th hit. How good has he been, man? How good is he? He's the fifth active player to do that, to reach that milestone. 12th player to have 350 home runs and 2,000 hits by the age of 32. Does he get his props? Does he get enough props, Tony?
I don't think so. I think you know, Manny isn't all cuddly, and so I think because of that, he doesn't get some of the props. And I think plus he's in San Diego now. I mean, it's not the biggest market on the planet. We out here west. Most of y'all back are asleep by the time you know we get into our game, and so I think that all plays a part into it. But he's never going to be a guy that's going to go chase it. That's for sure. He is content with who he is, and he. I think that one of the best things about Manny is watching the growth as a leader since he's been here in San Diego. I think he's matured in a way that I think is visible. You can see it. And so, you know, it's not a surprise when you look at his back of his baseball card. He is as consistent as it comes. You can almost book 270, you know, anywhere between 25 and 30 homers and, you know, anywhere between 95 and 105 RBIs. I mean, that's who he's been really his entire career. And when you play, when you post, you know, man plays every day, no day offs for him. You can start to accumulate these numbers. And he's one of those guys that, you know, the longer he plays, the more appreciation he's going to get because the numbers will just continue to stack up and you'll have no choice but to give him some love.
It is Odyssey MLB Insider Tony Gwynn Jr. Insider Calls brought to you by Grainger for the ones who get it done. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Another guy, and this is kind of a twofold question that probably isn't getting enough props, is Cal Raleigh. And I think one of the questions I have is how big of a coming out party could he have here in Atlanta for the All-Star game, specifically the Home Run Derby? And then I think there's a real conversation throughout the second half of the season if he can actually pass Aaron Judge for MVP consideration. What has to happen for him to find a way to get that award?
He's already set the pace, I think. If he can have the same type of second half of the season as he had first half, it's going to be quite difficult, especially if things continue to look like they have for the Yankees, who have fallen out of first place. They're in second place now, chasing the Blue Jays. And listen, Aaron Judge is having a phenomenal year. I mean, there were the talks about 400 may have been a little bit too crazy, but he's still hitting like 360 with a lot of damage. So I think Kyle is up against that part of it too, right? Aaron Judge is the consensus, one of the best, consensus best player in the American League prior to, Kyle Raleigh kind of making his mark here. But I think the way Raleigh has played this year, if he can continue to swing the bat, continue to have an impact on his team and in the standings, I think he's got a shot. I think he's got a shot to unseat Mr. Judge.
Tony, why is nobody talking about Detroit? I know it's been a long time. Detroit! But nobody's talking about him.
I don't know. That's a great question. I've said for a while that I thought they were the best team in the American League. It's only strengthened as the season has gone along. We saw these guys way back in April, and they took two or three from the Padres. And the one thing you came away with is they don't have, like, a superstar on the position player side.
Right.
But he's got a lot of really good players, a lot of interchangeable pieces. A.J. Hinch finally has a roster that he can match up with, do the left and right thing, a right and left thing, and he's got a lot of talent. And he's got a great starting staff, too. I mean, it's led by Skubal. You got a young kid like Olsen, who I was very impressed with. They're a solid team, like top to bottom, and they're going to be a problem. I think again, that's the best team in the American League.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's no way, real quick, that the Pirates move on from Skeens, right? They're not trading Paul. There's no way, right?
It's hard to really tell what the Pirates are doing, honestly. I mean, Paul Skeens is not the first guy to walk through there that was uber talented and that seemingly wanted to be there that, they got rid of. He won't be the first. I hope not. I really do feel for the people of Pittsburgh who I think are being, treated poorly in how they represent that city. I think the ownership has just not spent money there, and they got some talent over on that spot, and so you get a city like that that gets a player, a generational talent. I think you could say that.
Yes.
And you don't make any effort to put any winning behind him, or you're already allowing these conversations of him possibly being moved to kind of gather steam. I think it's a disservice to the people of Pittsburgh, and you hope that they have a change of heart, but I mean, we've been watching this organization for a while. I don't see that coming.
Me neither. Odyssey MLB Insider Tony Gwynn Jr., as always, appreciate you, man. Thanks so much. Enjoy the All-Star festivities, and we'll get at you next week, man, after everything plays out.
All right, you guys take care.
You too.